This is a translated sermon by Henk Leizinga, minister of one of the local full gospel churches in the Netherlands. The subject of this sermon is, this morning, to set a goal. This morning I have a text from 1 Peter 1 verse 8 and 9. 1 Peter 1 verse 8 and 9. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. To reach the goal of your faith, in Psalm 86 verse 11 we read, "Unite my heart that I may fear your name." To unite one's heart, how can we do that? Why is it necessary? And what is important in this process? To unite one's heart, perhaps, properly speaking, because Jesus prays in John 17 verse 21, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. To have a united heart, because you are starting to experience that reality, God in you, and everything that concerns you and occupies your mind, all this is in you. You and God have it together. Here Jesus witnesses of a very profound unity with the Father. And he prays that his disciples who are his followers, and all those who come after them, those who will believe in the name of Jesus, will experience the same unity as Jesus experiences with the Father, and as the Father experiences with Jesus. He prays that people will experience the same unity with God the Father, that they will experience the same unity with the Spirit of God, and that they will experience the same unity with Jesus Christ. And, as a result, that they will experience a deep unity within themselves. For reaching that goal, some things are needed. You should have the same goal as God has. Think in the same way as God thinks. You need to be in agreement with what God wants. And you need to be willing to serve in like manner as God is willing to serve. I want to speak about that very goal. How united are you in reaching the goal of your life? What kind of unity do you experience in this process? How undivided are you in this purpose? What do you want to achieve? What are you aiming for? And going a step further, how united are you within yourself to work out God's goal? Not only to reach God's goal with your life, personally, but also to work out together with him the goal he has in mind with mankind. For that purpose, you need an undivided and united heart. And that is not something that only I see. It appears regularly in the Bible. That people, in fact, have this prayer and are looking for that they may become one in themselves. They're only focused on wanting to reach that purpose. That's why David says in Psalm 86 verse 11, "Unite my heart. Let my heart, let everything that moves me in my innermost being be one and undivided. Let it all belong together and be in perfect agreement. So don't be double-minded, as it says in James 1 verse 8, because then doubt will enter into your heart, and then you will not be able to receive anything from God. Are you in agreement with yourself about what your goal really is? What is it that you want to achieve? Do you have the same goal that God has? Do you want to achieve the very same purpose that God wants to achieve? Are you working towards the same goal that he is working towards? Do you have the same goal? Do you focus upon the same purpose? Are you having in mind that which Jesus has in mind? It does not revolve around the things that you are able to do. It revolves around the question this morning, what is it that you are focused on? If you are pursuing a goal, things can go wrong. Sometimes you have to wait before you really know what the goal is. You don't have it all neatly figured out yet, but as you go along, you find out more and more as to how it all fits together. How is that with you? What are you aiming for? How purposeful are you living? And what specially concerns me this morning is, how united are you inwardly to reach that goal? To what measure do you make your whole existence serve to reach that one goal which you have in mind? What may all this cost you? What are you going to do when doubts creep in? What are you going to do when hardships come your way? What will you do when you have to reset your goal? How undivided are you inwardly in this process? There can be situations in your life in which you have to readjust your goal. You have to ask yourself, as it were, what is it I really want? What is it that really matters in my life? Am I willing to pay what it costs? And when I don't see how it will all work out, or when things are working out differently from what I had thought, what will I do then? On what will I be focused then? Jesus says, Father, let them be one just as we are one, that they, the people who believe in me, will in the same way be united with me and with you, Father, and as a result also be united with one another, that they may experience what we, Father, you and I, are experiencing together. How can you become one in this process? Well, it is important to know what God's goal is. What is the goal that God is striving for? What is God longing for? God is longing to see all the wonderful characteristics he has in himself become visible in people. God is longing to share all that he has with people, so that they will emerge as man in his own image, and that they will be not so only in theory, but that they bring it into practice in their very lives, just as Jesus put it into practice. That's why God is giving so much to us. That's what he wants. That is his goal. That is what he is focused on, to let people develop in such a way that they become really equal to him. Not that they have merely become children of God, but that they develop fully grown sonship in their whole being and life. That the characteristics of God are developed in their daily lives, so that other people also experience something of God. God's goal is that people find out, experience what their real value is. That is God's goal. That's what he is focused on. He wants you to experience personally, as it were, how precious you are for him. How precious you are just for whom you are, in the very bottom of your inner being. It goes without saying that you are liberated from sin and darkness. He wants you to know and experience how great your value is. What a precious and beautiful creation you are. How wonderfully you are functioning when you take away all those sins and the things that went wrong. For this is how he sees you. God's goal is that people will be restored in such a way that they become usable again. That he can do something with them, restoring people to usefulness. That they can be used in such a way that he rejoices over them, just as he rejoiced over Jesus, who exactly did what the Father wanted, and not because he was forced to do so, but because he consciously made that choice. God's goal is to use people, you and those in the church, to use them in order to bring out other people. He wants to let other people share in all that he has for them. Those people who do not know him, people who do not come to this church or attend other churches, people who are stuck and are in great need. God also wants to let them know and experience what their value is. He wants to restore them to usefulness, and he wants to use you for that purpose. He's looking for people whom he can just use for that purpose, that others may come out. God is working towards that goal. And Jesus? Jesus is one with the Father. Jesus does exactly the same. He also works toward that goal. He has adopted the same goal that God has adopted. He said, "Father, whatever you want, that is what I want." And that did not make him feel uncomfortable. He did not experience this as a kind of duty, feeling like, "Well, I happen to be the Son of God, and now I have to go to the cross. That just happens to be how it is." It was not like that at all. He did not feel forced to do things. There was no sense of, "I would like something else for that is nicer." No, he always made his choices because he knew what God wanted. He chose to make that his goal. In John 17, verse 4, he says that he came to complete the work that God had given him, to bring that to a good end. And at a certain point he calls out, in a very bitter situation on the cross, at the end of his life on earth, "It is finished." He completed that work that God gave him to do. That was the purpose of his life. That was his own choice. He went the whole way. Everything in his life was subjected to this, whatever the cost. He says, "Father, I've revealed your name to the people." So Jesus' goal was that what God had in mind, and to make that known to the people. To make known the name of God, the name of his Father. And that was completely new, for the people of Israel knew a lot about God, at least those who had taken the time to study the matter, but to think about God as a Father, that was a very strange to them. That came so close. It was actually a totally new concept. And Jesus reveals this fatherhood. He says, "I've made you known as a father." When he says, "I've revealed your name," he actually says at the same time, "I've shown them how you are, how you think, and what you want. I've shown them how it is your goal to serve people." And Jesus showed this by serving the people himself. He says, "I've revealed your name to the people." He did not come for himself. He did not say, "Wait a minute, I'm the Son. Mind you, you cannot merely say what you like to me. I'm the Son of God. You cannot just put the blame on me. You better check out first whether all that you are saying is true." Jesus let go of it all. He did not seek his own right. He gave it over to God when it became difficult and hard. He says, "Father, I'm giving it over to you, and I'm leaving it with you. You are a righteous judge." Jesus had no desire to show off himself in his humanity, saying as it were, "This is how I am. Don't you see how good really I am?" Such things were no part of Jesus. He didn't show off, not even the robe he was wearing. Only the moment this robe is given to the people, when he himself is hanging on the cross, do we hear about the robe. It was a beautiful robe, the one he was wearing. Jesus is not trying to show the outside, neither is he showing off what he possesses in his inner being. He's not going around boasting, "Don't you see how many signs and wonders I am doing?" He always listened to the Father. "Father, What do you want me to do? How do you want it? His goal was the Father, to reveal your name, not to make myself known, unless it is in God's plan to make myself known. Again, only within the goal that God had. He made himself known as the Redeemer, the Savior. He made himself known as the one who is going to die on the cross. He did not boast about this. When he speaks about all the things he is going to do, he always speaks within the boundaries set by God. What matters for Jesus is the Father. It's not about himself. He says in John 17, verse 8, I've given them the words you gave me. So he says, all I am saying, the thoughts, the words, I've received them from you first. Was Jesus not able to think well for himself? Could he not formulate sentences well and tell beautiful stories? Yes, he could. But with all those gifts and talents, he made himself available for the goal that God had. And he says, all those capabilities I have, being able to speak words, telling stories, explaining things well, being there for other people, showing my love, all these things, I do them with your words, with your thoughts, thinking the way you think, just as how you see them. This is how I do it. Jesus did not need to think small of himself, nor ignore himself, nor push himself in a corner, nor feel guilty because he might not be able to speak and say things so well otherwise. He just spoke. But he was so one with the Father that he always thought and spoke as the Father spoke and thought. His goal is also that many people will experience the same things he experienced with his Father. Jesus is working towards this goal. And this man, the way of life by which he could bring that tremendous sacrifice, through which all of humanity has been given completely new opportunities. For it is clear that in human history, Jesus' life has put a different light on so many things. No person, no Son of God, has become so widely known as Jesus Christ among all the great people who have been known or will become known. There surely have been some powerful figures among men. Our history books are full of them. But a person like Jesus surpasses them all. He is a way of life and existence which has its roots in God. And that was his goal. And what is your goal? Well, I think that most of us will say, yes, that also is my goal. To become more and more united, undivided inside, so that you remain focused on that goal. To say more and more, however it may be, whatever may happen, and whatever may go wrong, this is what matters to me. That I will see my value as God sees it. That I will come to see what my possibilities are as God sees them. That I will recognize what goal he is aiming for, and that I may surrender to that goal. Why am I speaking about this? Because I have been troubled by the enemy over these things in the last few months. Through situations which happened in our church, I came to the point where I had to say, Lord, whatever happens, I want to head for that goal of yours. Things may go contrary to my expectations. People may gossip. Things do not go as I would like them to go. Yet one thing remains. As for me, I will stick to your goal. Sometimes there are very profound moments when I ask myself, do I want to work out God's goal now? I can sink so deep that I ask myself at a certain point, what is it I really want? And what is my goal now? I have discovered that in such moments, I'm seeking to hear the Lord starts to speak. I discovered that in such moments I cannot depend and build on answers I received in the past. In such moments of crisis, I cannot fall back on the opinion of my brothers and sisters, because now it is only the Lord and I. And to make my choice in such a situation and say, "And yet, Lord, even if my father and my mother would leave me, even if everybody would walk away from me, Lord, what you have in mind, what you, Jesus, have in mind, that is what I want to have in mind. That is what matters to me. And even if I don't understand a lot of things, this will still remain my goal. And I expect that you will give me answers about the things I don't understand. To become united inside in order to work out that goal of God with him and with Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ, that is not the most difficult thing to do when I'm happy, when I have peace, and when there is victory. Then it is almost logical to say, 'Lord Jesus, I want what you want, and whatever you have in mind, I have in mind.' However, when things are not going well, then everything changes. But what do you want then? How united are you inside? Or is there a battle going on inside? Should I continue? Will I manage? Can I trust the people? Doubt and being afraid that you won't be able to make it. Well, you won't be able to make it on your own, but you will be able to make it together with the Lord. You cannot always continue putting your trust in people. At a certain point, you get into a situation where you will have to make the choice yourself. Do I really and solely want to work out God's goal in my life and give myself completely to this?" The Lord does not say without reason in Hebrews 12 verse 3, "Do not grow weary and lose heart." There's so much that comes to our hearts. We are experiencing so many things in life which affect us deeply. Things are piling up, one after the other. It is so easy to lose heart. Then it is important to make choices. In such circumstances, to listen to the Lord, and to make sure that you don't lose heart. For the unity in that goal, being united inwardly, that you want to work out God's goal in your life, that will be tested. Who is testing this? It is not God. The devil wants to test it out, because he wants to get you away from that goal. And when the devil is testing you, then the Lord is near to support and strengthen you. The Lord also wants the unity in the goal of your life to be able to withstand the fire of testing, the fire of temptation, the fire of darkness, of lies, of slander, of guilt feelings, etc. The Lord wants the goal you have before you to be able to withstand such storms. He does not need those storms, but when they come, he is there. When you stay close to him, you will become immune to the fire. You will become fireproof as a result. For the fire will test the quality of each man's work, says Paul in 1 Corinthians 3. That is not so because God has created that fire. The fire is there because Satan is a fallen angel. He was not willing to cooperate in God's plan as a protecting angel. In that plan, man was the crown of God's creation, meant to grow up into a perfect spiritual being. Man as the wife of God. From the moment that he turns against God's plan, the devil starts to function as the tempter. You can see that in his first attack, when he tempts Eve. That's why the fire is there. It's good to understand things well. It's not necessary for God to use that method to bring you to fullness, but you need to go through the fire, as it were, to be able to stand firm against the temptation and enticement of Satan. And now the Lord is calling you to become united inwardly, that you agree with yourself even more to reach that final goal. Peter calls that the final goal, the salvation of your souls, the highest happiness, the most wonderful thing you can experience, complete salvation, life to the full in this life and also in heaven, in God's spiritual reality. You will function transparently, with a conscience that speaks and with an attitude of listening to that conscience. For yes, it is possible that your conscience is speaking and that you know inwardly that you should not do certain things, but you do them all the same. God wants to make your conscience so sharp and clear that when you hear that voice inside of you, when you hear God's Spirit speak, you will want to react and obey. Salvation of your soul. That means that you will be able to answer all the possible questions God may ask, to be able to satisfy all that God demands. Remember, God is not a God who constantly wants to see proof of your intentions in your behavior. God is not like that. But God has certain thoughts. He has certain plans. God wants to work things out, and if you want to be able to join him in this, you need to experience changes in your life. Then you will go with him in all the things that he is handing you. He is saying all the time, do you think it is right for you to do this? Or look at what I have for you. God says, I rejoice over you. And then you may react and reply, it is easy for you to say that. But how can you rejoice over me? I'm only experiencing misery. Then God will say, yes, I'm singing over you because I see all that is in you and that can come out of you. What matters is that you surrender yourself and accept that. David says, unite my heart. What is David's part in this? He prays. He's expecting something. So, in the first place, clarify your goal, adjust it. And in the second place, expect that he will work in you in such a way that you agree more and more with yourself. This is what I want. And this is what I'm willing to let it cost me. Expectation, living with the expectation that he is going to speak, to help, to support, and to direct or redirect. In the third place, be convinced that you need him in all this, that he can give what you need in those moments, that you are moving between two thoughts. What is it that I want? And what is it that I don't want? James calls that to be double-minded, or division in your heart. The Lord says, make a choice. But if you can't, know that I want to help you to make the right choices. Know what it is you need. Jeremiah says, the Lord goes with me like a mighty warrior. This is how Jeremiah experiences it. Another thing that is very important is putting your heart in it, doing it wholeheartedly. Ezra put his whole heart into knowing the law of God and putting it into practice. Finally, we read in Joshua 1 verse 8, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. To realize that, the Lord says, be strong, go ahead, you can do it, let your expectation be on me. Be courageous, be brave, stand up, be united inwardly so you can go after God's goal. That is the way to the unity Jesus talks about in John 17. Amen. Let us pray together.
Lord God, here we are with these words. Will you please fasten them in our hearts and help us to work it all out in situations where we do not have the words of this sermon in front of us, where we do not have the Bible verses on the tip of our tongue, in situations where our choices matter very much. Lord Jesus, help us to be undivided inwardly, in our emotions, in our minds, and in so many other aspects of our lives, so that we are going after one goal with all our hearts and souls. Lord Jesus, thank you that you have been our example, but thank you too that you are the way for us to work it out. Lord God, thank you for your grace in Christ Jesus. Thank you that you know our hearts. Thank you that you know what thoughts there are in our hearts right now. Amen.